The portion of God's Word that we read this morning is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The text for the sermon is verse 20 of this chapter. We'll read the entire chapter this morning. This is God's Word to us in Ephesians chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So far we read God's holy and inspired Word. Verse 20 is the text for the sermon this morning. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the context of Ephesians 5 verse 20, our text for the sermon this morning, is important for a couple of reasons. In the first place, the context is important to understand the basic idea of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is exhorting the church concerning what it means to live holy and sanctified lives as members of the body of Jesus Christ, as members of, that is, the church of Jesus Christ. As the first verse of the chapter indicates, they are to be followers of God. And the entire chapter, therefore, concerns itself with what it means for members of the church to live as those who are followers of God in love for God and in love for one another. The chapter, therefore, is filled with that which we are to do and that which we are not to do as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. In the immediate context, the Apostle Paul speaks of what is the way of wisdom as members of the church. We must, as those who are saints in the church, be wise. And the way of wisdom, he says, is not to be filled with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when one is filled with the Holy Spirit in their heart and soul, the fruit of that will be, as verse 19 says, singing. We will make melody in our hearts. We will sing to the edification of one another and to the glory of God. And the way of wisdom being filled with the Holy Spirit, as our text indicates, will manifest itself in the way of thanks. There is a relationship between verses 19 and 20. 19 speaking of singing and 20 speaking of our singing, and that is that when we sing, as verse 19 speaks of, it is the way in which we show thanks to God for all things in the name of Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. And the text by the words itself indicate that it's more than that. Not just our singing shows thanks, but it calls our attention to the fact that we must be thankful always and for all things to God our Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And so, looking at it from that broader point of view, we see that this is an appropriate word for us on this Thanksgiving morning. The second reason that the immediate context of verse 20 is important is on account of a very practical reason. And that is that the immediate context calls our attention to what is a strong temptation in our lives, and I would say a particularly strong temptation on a day like this, a Thanksgiving day. It calls our attention to the danger of drinking too much. In the immediate context, the Apostle Paul is, as we read it in the English, we can say, having a play on words from the point of view of the idea of the Spirit. Don't be filled with wine, he says. Or we can say, don't be filled with spirits, which is what alcohol is, wherein is excess, but instead be filled with the Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, which sows itself in the ways that I said a moment ago. It's a clear and sharp condemnation of drinking too much. It's the way of excess. It's the way of unbridled sin. It's the way of disobedience. To make it very applicable today on Thanksgiving Day, it's the way of not showing that we are a thankful people in the church. Beloved, this is, I believe, a strong temptation on a day like today. We come to church in the morning, and then after church, we get together with our families, likely for a Thanksgiving meal. And it can be very easy on a day like this to have a couple of glasses of wine with our turkey dinner after church this morning. But then because we're with our families throughout the rest of the day, we don't have likely the responsibility of work tomorrow maybe. And the fruit of that is that you have those couple of glasses of wine during your lunch today, but then for the rest of the day you have in your hand a glass of wine or a beer or a glass of liquor. And so the fruit of that is that you drink all day long, beginning with a couple glasses of wine during lunch. And the fruit of that is that, to put it very bluntly, you drink too much. The tongue becomes loose, the mind is not as clear as it should be, and you're drunk. And though you may think that you are in control, the reality is that you have drunk too much. Heed the warning of God in His Word from the immediate context. Do not be filled with wine wherein is excess. It's the way of fools, beloved. It's the way of fools. It's the way in which we don't show that we are thankful. We drink in moderation on this day. We drink as those who are Christians. We drink understanding the clear danger of the Word of God, so that in our words, in our actions, in our life, on this Thanksgiving Day, not just in the morning as we come together for worship, but throughout the entire day, we demonstrate ourselves to be thankful Christians. That's not the text, though. The text is verse 20. The text is a good text for Thanksgiving Day because it covers the basis regarding what it means to be thankful. It teaches us to whom we must be thankful. It teaches us for what we must be thankful. And it teaches us how we are to be thankful. To whom? God and our Father. For what? All things. How? Always. And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I call your attention to the believer's gratitude under those three points. To whom, for what, and how. Thankfulness necessitates an object. If one is thankful, the implication of that is that one is thankful to someone. You cannot be, generally speaking, just thankful. Thankfulness always implies that you are thankful for something, and to be thankful for something means ultimately that you're thankful to someone. And we as Christians uniquely can be thankful. In fact, we are the only ones who truly can be thankful on this Thanksgiving morning, because we understand that our gratitude, in the end, all of it, is addressed to our God and our Father in heaven. He is the one from whom we receive all things. And He is the one, therefore, to whom all of our gratitude is brought. To be thankful is to acknowledge that you are the recipient of something. You are the recipient of something from someone else. And when you are thankful, you are grateful in your heart to that someone for that something, and that gratefulness in your heart manifests itself by the words that you speak and by the actions that you perform. So that if we are thankful to God, we will tell Him in the words that we speak, and as we know from the Word of God, if we are thankful to Him, we will show Him in the actions that we perform, which is Ephesians 5, we will heed the word of Ephesians 5, which is to be a follower of God in love for Him and in love for one another. All of our gratitude is directed to our God and our Father. And let's see that first in the text this morning. When we read in the text the words, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. When we read that in the English, it may seem as though that's referring to two people or two beings, God and the Father. Give thanks to God, and then in addition to that, the one who is our Father. Obviously, no, theologically, that's not true. It's not two distinct beings that we give our thanks to. The language of the text points us to the fact that the way in which we need to understand this is this way, that we give our gratitude this morning to God, who is our Father. And so what the text does is it draws together the close relationship to the fact that the one to whom we are thankful is not just the one we call and know as God, but it's that God who by the grace of God is also our Father. Both of those names of God are important to understand our gratitude to God. In fact, this really unlocks the meaning of the rest of the text. This is why we can be thankful for all things, and this is why we must be thankful always. It's because this is the one to whom we are thankful, the one who's not just God, but the one who is also our Father. Both of those names are important. We are thankful to God this morning. That name God emphasizes who God is as the Almighty One. It emphasizes who God is as the omnipotent Creator of the heavens and the earth, who He is as the all-powerful Sustainer of the heavens and the earth, who He is as the Sovereign Governor of all things that He creates and upholds. God, that name, demonstrates to us the power that God has as God. The Bible uses the name God to refer to the idols. All of the unbelievers and pagans in the Old Testament worshipped their gods, the Bible says. But we know that all else is but a figment of the imagination. All else with the name God are not gods. They are idols. Because of this fact, they're all dead. Our God is the living God, and our God is the Almighty God. He is the God that Paul writes concerning in Ephesians 3, who is able, verse 20 and 21, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. That's God, the one able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. To Him our thanks is directed this morning, but also to the one who is our Father. And that name, Father, as well is incredibly important as we think about our gratitude. That God is our Father implies two things. Number one, that we are His children. We know God and we call upon God as our Father because we are the rightful children of the living God. We have been adopted into the family of God. That adoption has been signed and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So that we who by nature are not the children of the living God, but the children of the devil himself, have been incorporated by the grace of God on the basis of the blood of Jesus into the family of the living God. So that we call this morning and we know this morning the Almighty God as our Father. It means as well that the way in which God views us and deals with us and cares for us is the way of a father. He loves us with a fatherly love. And we understand what a fatherly love is because by the grace of God as Christian fathers, we reflect the fatherly love of God. And the fatherly love of God and of us is that we desire the good of our children. That's God as our Father. He loves us with a fatherly love which directs us, guides us, and cares for us in such a way that He seeks our good, which ultimately is our salvation. To Him who is Father, we address our thanks this morning. But understand that there needs to be seen the relationship between the fact that He is God and the fact that He is Father. And because of this relationship, we are able and we do give thanks to Him for all things and always. He is the one who is our Father, who loves us with a fatherly love and seeks our good. And because He is God, Almighty God, we know and are confident that the good that He promises us, He will accomplish because He truly is God. That's the question, isn't it? That's what we need to know this morning. What we need to know is that the God who is our Father and who loves us and promises to care for us and to do all things for our good is able to do it. And the one who is our Father is because He is God, Almighty God, who is all powerful. That's always the question. Even we understand that from our life here on this earth. Think about the election that just took place. What's the relationship between promise and power? Candidates always make promises. Donald Trump right now is the president-elect, he says, of all men, all people in our country. Promise after promise after promise. But everyone with a bit of common sense knows that even for the President of the United States, what we can probably call the most powerful position in the world, even for that man, there is a huge chasm between what is promised and the power to fulfill the promise. He can say all he wants, but in the end, he cannot do everything he may desire to do. Beloved, there is no chasm between promise and power. The promise of our God who loves us and cares for us, and the power of God to accomplish all things for our good. And that is why this morning, considering the object of our thanks, all of our gratitude is expressed to the one who is our God and who is our Father. The text calls our attention in the second place this morning to that for which we are thankful. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. We obviously have to face that question this morning. We come here for Thanksgiving Day. We face the question, what is it that we are thankful for? We know it all goes to God because He is the source of all things. But what is it that we are thankful for as Christians? We have to take stock of that which we are thankful for, because the better we understand what we have received from God, the more profound and deep our gratitude will be. That's true in our everyday life. We can understand that from an illustration. A son receives a gift from his father. He receives the gift, for example, of a watch. That son must be thankful to his father for the gift of the watch that he received. But if he understands the value of that watch, if he understands the sentimental value, the fact that this was a watch that came from his grandfather through his father and now down to his son, and if he understands the intrinsic value, that it's not just any watch, but it's a limited edition watch with a special movement in it with some inlaid gold that has great value to it, then the gratitude for that watch to his father becomes all the deeper and all the more profound. And now don't take from that illustration that we can only be thankful and truly deeply thankful when we receive expensive, meaningful gifts. Of course not. We're deeply thankful for the small things that we receive and do for one another. But the illustration demonstrates the point spiritually that we must not ever be content with understanding in a low level what God does for us as our Father. But the more we understand it, the more we delve into it, the more we plumb the depths of what God does for us, the deeper, the more profound our gratitude will be. And this text, in the use of the word always, and the use of the word for all things, leads us to plumb the depths of that which we receive from God and our Father. What are we thankful for today? For all things. We can start with the spiritual blessings. We can start with the spiritual blessings in light of the book of Ephesians. We're thankful for the work of God to elect us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the book of Ephesians. Calls our attention to that great work of God so that on this Thanksgiving Day, we don't just look back at the year that was, but we look back all the way into eternity and say, this is what God has done for us. He's elected us according to His good pleasure. He has predestinated us to be His children. And if that was not true, we couldn't follow with anything else with respect to that for which we are thankful today. The source of everything that we receive from God, all of the spiritual blessings, goes back to election. So that as we sit here this morning and think about that for which we are thankful, let us in our hearts and souls go to eternity and thank God for the gift of His electing work in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful to God for His gift not only electing us, but of redeeming us and adopting us to be His children in Jesus Christ. Election is His decree, but when we're born into this world, we're born into this world as those who are sinners, not part of the family of God, but this is the work of God. He sent Jesus Christ so that He might redeem by His precious blood us, His people. So that when we are born, though born and conceived in sin, with the blessings earned on the cross of Calvary and through the powerful work of the Spirit, we are given new life. We receive the life of Jesus Christ Himself. We are united to Jesus. We are brought into the family of God. We are righteous by faith alone, and we have the hope of life everlasting. We're thankful this morning for the gift of our redemption and adoption in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful this morning for the church. We think about the text in the light of the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians is a book on the church. It's the truth that God does not just elect and redeem and adopt scattered individuals throughout the world, but He elects and He redeems and He adopts a body, His bride, the universal body of Jesus Christ, made up of all of the elect from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, but the church that manifests herself in the instituted congregation here on this earth. We're thankful and must be thankful this morning for the church. And make it very practical and make it very personal. Be thankful this morning for Trinity Protestant Reformed Church, that God has performed a wonder of grace for you and for your family, calling you out of the darkness of the world so that you have a name and a place in a true congregation of Jesus Christ in which the gospel of the cross and resurrection of Christ is proclaimed. Be thankful this morning for the gift of the church. And to go off of that one more point, be thankful this morning for the gift of unity in the church. Ephesians 3 is the exhortation of the Apostle Paul that the church is to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Beloved, be thankful that God has given to us as a congregation the gift of unity and peace as a congregation. A unity that is fundamentally in the truth of the gospel. It's a wonder of grace that this morning we can come together as a congregation and we together confess a common faith. We hold to the confessions that God has handed down to us as a congregation. We believe the truth in the same way. And we believe, what is more, the truth as it has been developed in the denomination of churches of which we are a part. And we are one in that truth together as believers. Praise the Lord and thank the Lord this morning that we come together as a congregation, united in the truth of Jesus Christ. And then on top of that, that He has given us peace as a congregation, so that there's not schism on account of false doctrine in our congregation, but as far as we know, there are no divisions in the church warring with each other, threatening to upend the reality and existence of us as a church in this place and at this time. Let it not be the case that for us as a congregation, we need to be thankful for this, and we'll only be thankful after we don't have it for a time. Thankfulness for something like this can be like that, where you're only thankful for it when you go through a period in which you don't have it. I imagine there are some here who in their life in the church, maybe prior to their time here at Trinity and other congregations, went through periods of difficulty in which there was that schism, division, hardship, and the tremendous burden and difficulty that is. God uses it, of course. He uses it in the end to strengthen, to maintain truth. I understand that. But when you go through that, it makes you thankful all the more when God grants the gift of peace and unity in the church. May it not be the case that Trinity PRC has to lose it in order to be thankful for it. Let us be thankful for it right now, and let us endeavor to keep it, maintaining the truth of the gospel and in a spirit of humility and love, no matter what we face as a congregation, be determined to be united in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the grace of God, God will grant that peace and unity. But let us be thankful this morning for that gift of unity. We could go on and on with respect to the spiritual blessings that God has given to us. That's part of the everything in the text. We also need to be thankful for the physical gifts. Let's not lose sight of that this morning on this Thanksgiving Day. At the end of the harvest season, we are mindful of God's gift physically to care for us. And though there is quite a few steps in between the field and the table for us, we as Christians understand the direct link between the table and God, and how although there are those many steps between the field and the table, we know, because God is the God of providence, that all things in the end come to us from Him. Be thankful this morning that we have our daily bread. Be thankful for just the daily bread. Don't take for granted the cupboards full of food and the feast that we enjoy today, but understand all of it is a gift to us from God. And part of the everything as well is that we are thankful for the joys and the sorrows that we face. This is one of the tremendous blessings of the Christian faith, that we can say this morning that I am thankful for everything. And the reason for that is that we never disconnect that which we are thankful for and the one to whom we are thankful, who is God and, remember, Father. And as Father, who is Almighty God, uses all things for our good and for our salvation. So that elsewhere, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5 can speak of being thankful in everything, for this is the will of God for you. And he says that immediately after he speaks about not quenching the Spirit and about rejoicing evermore and praying without ceasing. Here we have the positive. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, and be filled with the Spirit to this end, that in everything and for everything we can be thankful. And by the grace of God, we can be. We can be thankful for and in the joys, and thankful for and in the sorrows too. We have many joys. We have the covenant children God gives us. We have the confessions of faith. We have the gift of godly marriages. We have the gift of good relationships. We have the gift of restored relationships. So much for which we are thankful that our joys in our life, but even in the sorrows, the losses, the burdens, the difficulties, we can be thankful because we know this, that our God is our Father, and He is the one who uses all things for our good, and to conform us to His image, and to lead us to Himself in our salvation. Take stock this morning, beloved, of that for which we are thankful, and see what we receive from the hand of our God and Father. And that leads us to the end of the sermon, the third point, and that is the how. And with respect to this point, there are two things to point out from the text. The how is always, and the how is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start with that. The way in which we give thanks is to God and our Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the name of Christ very practically means that when we go to God and our Father, we call upon the name of Jesus. But in that name of Jesus, we have the entire person and the entire work of this Lord Jesus Christ. His person and work revealed in those names. He is the Lord, the ruler of all things. He is Jesus, Jehovah salvation. He is Christ, the Anointed One, as the mediator between God and His people. All of our gratitude to God, the triune God who is our Father, is in the name of Jesus. And it's because it's in the name of Jesus that we know and that we have life with God. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one has life with God and goes to the Father but through Him. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man. So that when we go to God, we go in the name of Jesus Christ. Very practically, in our prayers, which is the chief way of gratitude, we pray in the name of Jesus. We have access to God only through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary's cross. It's in the name of Jesus, not just because as we go to God triune, we go to God triune in the only way, which is Jesus Christ, but understand that from God, all that we receive from Him comes through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Everything that we receive from the triune God who is our Father is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the book of Ephesians. This is the fundamental truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, made so clear, for example, in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Christ. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. Verse 7, In Christ we have redemption through His blood. Verse 11, in Christ also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Verses 22 and 23, Christ is head over all things to the church for the good of the church. Beloved, we receive everything from God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What that means on this Thanksgiving morning is that Thanksgiving is exclusively a wonder of grace. The world celebrates Thanksgiving today. There's only one man that's truly thankful, and that's the man that is in Jesus Christ. The man who knows Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. The man, therefore, who has been saved by that Christ and in and through that Christ knows and has life with the triune God who is the source of all things. I say again, it is only the Christian who by the work of God and by the wonder of grace on this Thanksgiving Day is thankful. Today we are thankful, not because we have a natural understanding of receiving things, but we are thankful in the truest sense of the word. We are thankful because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are saved by Him from our sin and guilt, and we know God in and through Him. Thankful to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, always. Always, beloved, goes hand in hand with the fact that we are thankful for all things. If we are thankful for all things, that means always we can be thankful too. So we see that connection, but see this connection in conclusion. We're thankful always because we are always united to God in the name of Jesus Christ. Having been saved by God in Christ, we know this, that the triune God always sees us in Jesus Christ, always does all things in light of our life with God in Jesus Christ, always sends everything to us, not with His curse, but with His blessing in Jesus Christ, so that it doesn't matter what we are going through. It doesn't matter how much we have or how little we have. This is true. We are in Jesus. And therefore, always, we are thankful. May God so work that gratitude in us for all things, at all times, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our God, who by His grace is our Father. Amen. Father in heaven, make us thankful today, we pray, by Thy Spirit. May we show it. Show it in our words and show it in our actions. And help us to see the source of our gratitude, which is Thy electing work in Jesus, and that all of our blessings come to us in and through our Savior Jesus Christ. In His name do we pray, asking that Thou wilt powerfully work through Thy word this morning. Amen.